Welcome back to Go Gaddis Real Estate Radio right here on AM 920 The Answer. In this segment, how do you keep what's in your crawl space from getting into your home? That was one of the concerns that I always had, was I don't really know if I want to buy a home on a crawl space because sometimes they smell a little musty on the inside of the house. And sometimes it seemed to me like there may be more bugs and critters and stuff like that. Don't forget, we want to connect with you, and it is easy. You can go to gogaddisradio.com. That's GOGADDIS radio.com. You can ask questions. You can make comments. You can push back or challenge things I say on the air, or even that my guests say on the air. You can share your ideas with us. You can request your neighborhood be featured in our neighborhood spotlight, and you can subscribe to our podcast. Without further ado, I'd love to introduce Brett Gordon, who's the president and CEO of World Class Home Inspectors, Home Inspections, LLC. You've been on many, many times with us, Brett, and thank you very much for being on with us today.
Thanks for having me back again.
So I've got a question for you. If you needed, if you were buying a home and it had a crawl space, and you needed someone to get in there and inspect your crawl space, I'm not sure of who I would tell you to call, but I know I can tell you who not to call. And that would be Mr. Cleve Gaddis, because I don't like the creepy crawlers, and I'm afraid there's going to be a snake in there or something like that. So I just have to ask you, as a home inspector, how did you get over, did you ever have a fear of going into the crawl spaces? How did you get over them, and what is the strangest thing you've seen down there that made you go, oh my gosh, what is that?
Well, actually, we've seen brown raccoons, spiders, several times.
Okay.
I have a friend that actually got bit by one of those. We've seen a lot of snakes. Raccoons, possums, a lot of rats.
And so
you see all kinds of stuff in.
How do you get over being scared? I hate to say I'd be scared, but how do you get over being scared and going in there anyway? If you said to me, Cleve, there could be a snake in there, I don't know. Why don't you crawl in and see? I'm not going to crawl in to see if there's a snake in there.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because a lot of times, you know, when we do end up seeing it, we get out of it really quick, and we have to have somebody that pest control company to come in there and actually get it out, like a snake or something like that,
yep,
before we actually go any further. So yeah, we do come across that.
And I would assume you got your flashlight and you're looking all over the place. You're being very cautious when you're in there. Sorry, I know that was not part of our discussion, but I'm always wondering, how in the world do you ever convince anybody?
A lot of times you bring a stick or something.
Bring a stick so you can beat whatever it is before it gets you. It's either you or it, whatever it is, and you're not going to let it be it for sure. So crawl spaces are typically dirt. In there, you might have some columns or footings or something that's holding the house up, and then you have the skirting in the house. And so a lot of the crawl spaces that I've seen, maybe they have a little bit of maybe 3 mil clear plastic or something like that that somebody put out over the years, and it doesn't quite all fit together. And anyway, you go into home sometimes with a crawl space and you can smell it when you're in the home upstairs. So what is crawl space encapsulation, and why should somebody who has a crawl space consider encapsulating their crawl space?
Well, an encapsulation is not only on the grounds, but it actually goes up the walls on the pillars. So you're actually encapsulating pretty much the whole thing, so moisture cannot get into it. Sometimes they'll have to end up putting in a sump pump that actually end up pumping up water if it's getting water in there also. So you want to make sure the crawl space is as dry as possible. And if you do encapsulate it, you want to make sure you actually put a dehumidifier in there, which will keep the moisture levels down.
Got it. So how about the floor joists? On the floor above, is that encapsulated as well, or is it just over
the
dirt?
Typically not. I mean, that's a full encapsulation, and typically they don't do that. Usually you only leave in a probably about 6 inches to probably 10 inches between the floor joists and the walls, because that way for termites or anything like that, they can actually check for termites and stuff.
They can check and they can get in there and they can treat them. Got it. That makes sense. Okay, so when you encapsulate a crawl space, what is it encapsulated with? How does that work?
Usually, in the encapsulation, you want to use at least a 10 mil.
Okay.
Sometimes you can end up using a 20 mil. That's the thickness of the vapor barrier.
Okay.
The industry standard would be about a 10 mil. Obviously, you go up to 20 mil, it's going to double the price on it.
A double the price of the material, not necessarily the encapsulation.
Right. On the material and everything, correct.
Mm-hmm. And then this, is it, would it be clear plastic so you could see through it? Would it be a gray plastic? Would it be a black plastic? What would be used?
Typically with an encapsulation, we use a white. It's white in color.
Okay.
Standard vapor barrier is usually black in color.
Right.
But encapsulation normally is white.
Okay. And then once you encapsulate everything, then you're keeping the moisture from coming up through the ground and going into the house. But you're also probably keeping the creepy critters that you and I talked about at the beginning of the conversation from getting into the crawl space unless they come in through the door. So what would be other benefits of encapsulating a crawl space? Because I'm going to tell you right now, I've never owned a home with a crawl space, but if I did own a home with a crawl space, I would get that 100% encapsulated. Like as before I moved in, I would have all of that done.
Well, encapsulation actually helps with your health issues even, and it also help with like musty smell, so you don't get that musty smell you were talking about.
Right.
Obviously, you won't get mold because it's keeping the moisture level down. Because like I said, if you end up putting a dehumidifier in there, it's going to keep it below 55% humidity in that crawl space. And that's what your goal is to keep it below 55% so it doesn't get mold or a musty smell.
So keeps odors out of the house, keeps mold and mildew and other allergens out of the home as well. Plus, it winds
a lot of your pests.
And keeps the pests out. So I would assume you have less ants and things like that. If they can't get up into the crawl space and then get up into the house, they can certainly still get into the house. But I love the fact that you might very well have less pests. Let me ask you this. On average, what would you say the height is of a crawl space in Metro Atlanta?
Honestly, it depends, because we did one today and it was probably 3 to 4 feet tall. Okay. We've got one that's actually, we're doing this Thursday and Friday, and we've got probably just enough to be able to go on your belly to do.
And so,
I mean,
how much clearance do you have in order to be able to put an encapsulation system in there? 2 feet? Is that enough? It doesn't seem like that would even be enough.
I would say at bare minimum, yeah, 2 to 2.5 feet would be bare minimum.
Okay. And then certainly to have a little bit more would 100% be better. How do you affix the plastic to the ground? How do you affix it to the columns? How do you affix it to the walls? What keeps it there?
Either nails. We use nails, staples. We end up using a lot of tape, double-sided tape, glue. There's a lot of different ways depending on how it needs to be put on there.
Yep. And if somebody had allergies and was specifically offended by the odor of a crawl space, would you do anything differently in that case to sort of further encapsulate things than you would just with a normal encapsulation?
You can put a where it's vented to the outside. I mean, a lot of times what that will do is help the gases also from, related to the soil, because obviously, the soil, it's got gases that come up, which, could be radon.
Radon.
It could be, all kinds of different things. But even venting it, that would actually help too.
And so when you say venting it, how does that work? Do you put an actual vent on the side of the crawl space that sucks air out of the crawl space and blows
sucks
it out the side
air
of the house?
Out of the vents, correct.
So So really just like kind of a radon mitigation system just installed on the side of the crawl space instead of, through a concrete slab and up through the roof of the house.
Right. And the thing of it is, every crawl space is different. So you got to see what you actually have. I mean, like I said, sometimes you got to put a sump pump in there. Sometimes you got to do, drainage around there, so there's, and we don't do that part.
Okay.
Obviously a foundation person would have to end up doing that.
Okay. And what percentage of the houses would you say have to have a sump pump installed? I would imagine it's a fairly high percentage. In some cases, builders just let the water run like through the crawl space in some cases. It was weird.
Right. And a lot of it is actually just being able to get the water away from the house. I mean, as long as it's not sloping towards the house, towards the crawl space, or if your gutters aren't clogged, it's getting the water away from the house. That's the number one thing anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Brett, if somebody wanted to reach out to you to have you possibly do a home inspection or come out and check their crawl space to see if encapsulation would make sense and to possibly give them a quote, how would they reach you?
Well, then go to our website at www.worldclassps.com or give us a call at 678-250-6653.
Got it. So it's worldclassps.com. Worldclassps.com. Am I saying that right?
World-class PS.
PS, and I assume that must be World-Class Property Services or something like
property
that.
World-class
PS. And then, so how much would it cost to do encapsulation for an average crawl space? I'm thinking an average crawl space is 1,100 or 1,200 square feet. I don't know if I'm even close to being right.
The average is usually around 1,500 to 2,000 square feet.
Okay.
And the average cost is anywhere from $3 to $7 per square foot, depending on what you have to do.
Okay.
So say a 1,500 square foot would be about $4,500
on the low, on the low,
on the low side, and about 10,000 on the high side.
Got it.
So it gives you an average cost, probably about $7,500. And that includes everything. That includes the encapsulation. That includes, you know, putting a dehumidifier in there and making sure, you know, the humidity level is below 55%.
Oh, so in other words, you'd put something in there that would continue to measure it so somebody could get in there, look and see what it was.
Yeah, putting a dehumidifier, a commercial dehumidifier.
Got it. Such an interesting thing. Now, if somebody wanted to have something like this installed, how long would it take from the time they got the estimate to the time it was installed? We've got about 45 seconds left in the segment.
We can have it completed within 2 days, typically, the job. But, I mean, we would need at least probably a couple days' notice to order everything.
Brett, thank you so much. I know you are in the process of moving, and you've got tons of stuff going on. So thank you so much for investing your time to come on the show.
Thank
Hopefully,
you.
People who are listening are learning all about crawl space encapsulation. If you're interested and you want to reach Brett, it is real simple. Go to worldclasspsdotcom, worldclassps, that's worldclasspropertyservices.com, or you can go to gogaddisradio.com, and we'll connect you with Brett ourselves. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, when is it time to change various filters and other things around your house? And what are the most common mistakes that listing agents make that cause people to get out of the business on average in less than 5 years? Stick with us. We've got those subjects and more. We'll be back.